If you take out your message notes, they're going to have the title on them. We're looking for Jesus Wants to Heal Your Wounds. We have trash cans up here. Wonder what they're all about. I think we'll find out. If you think about it, you know, we've been in this short series for a couple of weeks.
I don't want you to trip, and, you know, I want you to make it for your next birthday.
Oh, no, I want them up here. Thank you, though. I appreciate that.
They're object.
The one person in the church who wants to see me not get hurt. Anybody else want to? Yeah, I'm looking forward to cards, you know, your kind of cards. Oh, if you're a newcomer and you think that they're being disruptive, they are. But they've been trained well. This whole area of, you know, we all go through this life, and some of us get beaten up real well, and others of us, we seem to skate through with some minor abrasions. But our Lord, no matter what our wounds might be, He decided long before He even saved you or me, that He wanted you to know that meeting with Him in those deep personal experiences that He longs for us to enter into every day with Him, He'd like to be able to discuss these things and help you get over them. And I've shared with you over the course of the last couple of weeks illustrations from my own life where the wounds were deep and they lasted for a number of years, and I didn't have the benefit that the Holy Spirit is providing us to be able to look into this wonderful, wonderful, if you've heard me call it, love letter that He's provided us. To say, you don't have to deal with these things anymore. You can let them go, and whatever these wounds are that have caused you hurt and continue to cause some of you hurt, He can help you relieve yourself of them and be able to move through this life with a bigger smile on your face, knowing that He'll not desert you. He won't forsake you. He wants to be there to strengthen you and set you free. So we've been learning a lot since the beginning of the year. You remember PMSA? You know, having that personal, mental, spiritual attitude. He wants us to, in that personal part, to be positive going forward. If anyone on the face of this globe can go through all the junk that's going on that is so hurtful, I mean, think about it. Our country has never been the mess that it is today. It's never been this messy, except with going back to the Great Depression, of which my folks could talk to me about. But you know, places like China, when we were praying this morning, there's 10,000 of these Chinese Muslims. They just woke up missing. They're gone. Their government can just walk into your home and extract you, and no one knows where you went and if you'll ever be back. The world is really an awful place to be because of Satan and Satan's kids. Satan's kids really like being Satan's kids. And you and I have to deal with them. The trouble is, too many of us want to deal with them in our own strength. And we can't do it and be successful. We need to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. As he taught us earlier in the year, the power of we, you and the Holy Spirit, myself and Jesus. The power of we, the two of us together, that makes a majority, and we can really do exceedingly well. There is supernatural events going around on around us. And the only way to deal with them is supernaturally. So we need to be with our Lord every day and seeking him for his wonderful help. So as we jump back into this series, I want us to jump in remembering the acrostic I taught you in January, PLT. Remember PLT? A positive life transformation. As we take these things that the Holy Spirit reveals to us from Scripture and put them in the practice in our lives, then we can have a positive life transformation. But what is discouraging for me, but nonetheless, I have great positivity in him. When I meet with some of you, you're going through issues that we've talked about from the Word of God, and our Lord gave us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps to go through and to be successful and to get rid of this thing that's bugging us so terribly. And we don't do it. We don't do it. We don't practice the soap I told you about. Remember, we need to be with the Lord every day in our DPE, our deep personal experience with him that comes through our gnosko time, that time of intimacy with him. Now, some of the people in our church family, they still don't do it. I don't understand that because it wasn't a suggestion on Ron's part. It was a command on his part. And that's why a lot of our brothers and sisters are hurting, because they decide they don't want to do what he has to say. And whatever he asks us to do, he says, I'm here to help you do it. I'm not asking you to go do it on your own. The two of us together, the power of we, where your focus goes, your energy flows. He has taught us all these little cute sayings to be able to hold on to passages of Scripture, the Word of God, to watch our lives become these positive life transformations. So the first thing he taught us about Jesus wanting to heal our wounds is that we already filled it in there on page 1. We're to admit our hurts. Let's just say that one more time. Admit our hurts. Again, admit our hurts. Turn to the person next to you and tell him or her, admit your hurts. It's okay to smile at them. The second thing we need to do is release your offender. Say that with me. Release your offender. I know some of you still want your pound of flesh, but our Lord said, no, remember? He made it clear. He, it's like rubbing my nose in this. But he did it years ago, and that was when he told us that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who are doing things that try to hurt us, those who have caused our wounds, those who persecute us, we're to pray for them. I guess my question is, folks, are we? I know I am. I have to pray for certain people every day. I have to pray for our president. every single day. The only way I can get away from the fleshliness and its feelings is to freshly enter into the Spirit and to pray for him and to pray for him by name, to love on him in Christ. In my humanness, I can't do it. In my humanness, decades ago, I never would have done it. But now, our Heavenly Father has made it clear. When you read that passage of Scripture, Ron, did you understand I was talking to you way back there, first time you ever read it, as someone as an adult coming to faith in Christ? No. I didn't make it personal. And as I shared with you last week, Jesus says here, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is what you've heard in the past. And wherever I find the word you in Scripture, generally, I will put my name, Ron, there. Ron shall love his neighbor and hate his enemy. No, because Jesus, when he shared that, comes right along and he says, but I say to Ron, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And then we went into great depth about this. It's not just a book with words and sentences and paragraphs. It is the living, active Word of God. It is God-inspired. It is God-breathed out. It is His telling us what to do. They're not suggestions. He wants so much for us to be like Him, and He will help us be like Him with this regard. We are to admit our hurts, and we are to release our offenders. We went through that long parable that the Lord showed us. You realize that when you are filled with bitterness and hatred for some people, as I admitted to you, I hated the PNVA. I hated the people's living. I hated the North Vietnamese Army. I hated those individuals. We had foul names for these human beings who we had to dehumanize to take their lives. And the same they had done for themselves regarding us. It's important to follow what he shares with us in this loving word, and those people that have really hurt us in the past, we can get rid of the bitterness. We can let it go. We don't have to live there anymore at all. We're going to pick up this morning with replace old lies, replace old lies with Jesus' truth. This will be very helpful in going forward and working with our Lord Jesus in healing our wounds. Replace old lies with Jesus' truth. If you'll do this, You'll stay up, 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 rather than down, down, down in this evil world. But we've got to get rid of the old recordings. Jesus wants to heal my wounds, so I need to replace old lies with Jesus' truth. Look at your notes. We put all kinds of garbage into our minds. We do. We read magazines we know we shouldn't. We pick up books to read rather than the book and read them, and they have all kinds of potty mouth literature contained in them. And we do this thing on social media that draws our attention to garbage. Just garbage. We put all kinds of garbage into our minds. Your mind often does not know what is true and what is not. That's your fill-in. What is true and what is not. My goodness, if you go to CNBC and listen to their news broadcasts and then go over to Fox and listen to it, you don't know who's telling you the truth. They're absolutely different from each other. And some people spend hour upon hour upon hour watching the news. So consider this fact. Look at the fact. You need to constantly replace the old CDs or DVDs of garbage, bitterness, hatefulness, with new CDs, like a brand new CD that's being cooked back there right now, or a Blu-ray DVD of the truth. We need to stop playing the bad news, the hurts that took place way back when, the individual who did something to us that was absolutely horrid. No denying it, but we don't need to focus on it. It's in the past. Is anyone here who can go back into my past, somebody's past, and change it for me or for them? Anybody here? So why do we live there? Why do we live there? Why don't we live in the present and with the Holy Spirit and look forward to the future with our Abba Father and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ every day as we come and spend time with Him and ask Him those intimate, deep questions that we have about this life before He takes us to be with Joyce? When you were a child, people in authority told you all kinds of things. Some of those people didn't necessarily tell you the truth. My uncle, Sergeant LAPD, Christmas party for the family. I'm 3 years old and he pins his badge on me and sends me around with a cup to everybody and tells them, give me all your change or Uncle Colin will put you in jail. So I go over to Uncle Robert, LAPD, give me all your change or Uncle Colin will put you in jail. I'd like to see him do that. Go over and talk to your grandfather. Papa Katie, Uncle Colin said he'll put you in jail if you don't give me all your change. You tell him to see me because I outrank him. We work at the same station. I don't know what happened to all the money that night. They told me I was going to keep it, but I don't remember ever getting to have it. Adults sometimes tell you the truth, and sometimes they don't. We need to get rid of certain old CDs. Now, I've got some CDs up here, and here's a CD, and it's titled Stabbed in the Back, No Promotion. Anyone ever do that to you? Well, you're supposed to take these and throw them away. Oh, excuse me. That's the recycle one. You don't want to recycle them. You want to put them in the trash. Lied to me. and changed my life in a negative way, took away my good reputation. Hurt me physically, sexually molested me. In the past, I took my baby to an abortionist. We throw those away, family. We keep the ones like the perfect work of God. Yeah, that's a good one. That was by Bill Ball. We keep a real He-Man's tips on how to deal with absolute misery. Jack Littlefield. We'll keep that one. Jesus Christ knows our sorrow. Charles Clemens. We'll keep that one. What the apple says about the tree. Well, that's Pastor Eugene. We don't need. Oh, wait. We'll keep that one. Arrogance of knowledge. That's another good one by Pastor Eugene. So we'll keep those. But the other ones, we're supposed to throw them away, family. We're supposed to get rid of them. Look at your notes. Paul writes in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 is missing from here. Why, I'm not quite sure. But verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, sisters too, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Who else did that? The Lord Jesus, right? Presented his body as the living sacrifice for our sins. To die for our sins. To present your bodies as living sacrifices. Did you do that this morning? Did you offer yourself up in a prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Here I am, Lord. I'm here to worship you in spirit and in truth. I've come in this body, but I'm lifting it up to you. In the fullness of worship, my focus is on you. It's not a matter I didn't like the first song we started with, that new song. I don't like that one. It's not a matter that I came to worship you. The lyrics were beautiful. I like the song, by the way. Holy. You're holy. You're set apart, in other words. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is what we're supposed to do every day, to offer ourselves up to him in such a fashion. Then in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-promoting. Don't be a thief. Don't be a liar. Don't be arrogant. Don't be unkind. Don't be hard-hearted. Don't be unforgiving. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, by offering ourselves up to him on a daily basis. And by doing that, we want to do the things he has been teaching us. We return to soap. We read the scripture. We look at and observe what we see in there. What we observe, we ask him how we can apply it in our lives. And then we pray about how we apply what we observed in the scriptures. Don't be conformed to this world. He wants us to have a positive life transformation. And the way that happens is we reject the world and the way it operates and we live our lives the way Jesus wants us to live our lives. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the Holy Spirit asked Paul to tell the Colossian church first, and now this morning, he's at GHCC. And for some of us, it's a reminder. For others, we're hearing it for the first time. But the Holy Spirit is saying, let the Logos, that is the Christos, that is the Messiah, dwell. That is enokeo. Enokeo means to inhabit, to be in. Let the Logos, the Word of God, inhabit you. Be in you, is what he's saying. Let it dwell in you richly. And this Greek term richly means abundantly, largely, exceedingly. So the question comes to Ron as he's reading this, because Ron is to be letting the Word of God, the Word of Christ, inhabit, dwell in him in an absolutely abundant, exceeding way. The question is he? I can only answer that. Is it abiding in you in that same way? If it is, way to go! Give yourself a hand if that's the way it is. If it isn't, then another question. You know, I go through those who, what, where, when, why kinds of questions all the time. For me, if it isn't that way for you, why? Why? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. A believer is going to be taking the word that is dwelling in him or her richly. And you see it here, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. A believer can teach and counsel other believers, other people who are non-believers, with all wisdom. Sophia, with wisdom, speaking to this person in such a way as that they would live in a smart way, that they would not live in an unsmart way. Admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms, going to the book of Psalms, 150 of them. You can add your own music to it. I sing, not with other people around, some of the psalms. I mean, they're crazy. They're absolutely crazy because I'm not a music writer. But he asked me to sing songs. So when I'm alone, I'll sing the psalms that are in the book of Psalms to him. He's probably got some strange thing he wants to say to me when I get to heaven. But nonetheless, sing these psalms. And hymns, and it's not talking about the Wesley brothers. He's talking about other songs that praise him. Hymns. And then spiritual songs, which are non-secular songs. Sing these songs to him. Remember, I talked to you about this when you first started coming to GHCC. These songs are not sweet little ditties to sing to him. These are musical prayers for us to be singing to him. We are to be full, richly full with the Holy Spirit. We are to be richly full with the Word of God so that we can do these things. And how do we get full, richly with the Word of God? Well, it happens through study of the Word. It comes from meditating on the Word. And it comes from actively living out the word. It becomes permanent and will abide in you and in me if we do these things. But we don't know a whole bunch of Christians who do that in the United States, do we? Why? Are they really Christians? I have to wonder at times. I have to wonder. You see, if you and I take what he has shared with us and apply these things in our lives, I'm going to have less counseling time with spouses. I'm going to have less time with kids and their parents. I'm going to have less time dealing with just folks in the church that said something on social media that ticked off someone else in the church, and they decided to continue ticking each other off through social media. You see, if we do what the Lord says, just in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, then we're not going to do those kinds of things. If we're being kind to one another, how can we be mean to the other one? If we disagree with somebody, is it not okay to disagree quietly? Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Not hard-hearted, but tender-hearted. It breaks my heart to have to meet with professing Christians that I love, and they're in a verbal war with someone else because they can't be tender-hearted. And it's not a matter of can't, it's a matter of won't. Because the Holy Spirit, he moves in our lives in such a way as to come alongside and give us this positive life transformation. We become the new creation in Christ Jesus if we're truly born again. And if we find ourselves again weak in these areas, or we actually look in a mirror and going, I'm not seeing this stuff in me at all. Kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. No way, I'm not going to be forgiving that person. And he says to do these things just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. You know, again, not a suggestion. He's saying, I'm here to help you change your life. I'm here to help you mirror me. Not your pastor, God, your Father. I want to make you just like me. Does these things because he loves us. He comes to these particular areas and he says, remember what your shepherd threw out there and you just dismissed. You didn't write it down. You didn't say it over your mind 5 or 6 times so it hooks in there, the power of we. The power of we. You and me. God and you. We can do these things. We can do these things. All of those ants that Eric was talking about in our prayer gathering this morning, automatic negative thoughts. We don't have to have those things. We don't have to have those things. They should be over here in the trash can. The automatic negative thoughts have no place in your present or in your future. They have no place. So why do Christians, at least those who say they are, hold on to such things and make themselves miserable? We need to let these things go. We need to have a positive mental, spiritual attitude. Those brothers and sisters of ours that had the hardening of the ungrateful attitudes, we need to come in and try to massage those for them in tenderness, in humility, in meekness, and yes, with forgiveness. We come to them with love, seeking their best and their highest good at our expense. We want to see them set free because the Lord Jesus wants them to be healed from their wounds. Don't be shaped by the world, family. Instead, be changed. Be changed within that new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to decide what God wants for you. But from the new way of thinking, from His perspective, you will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect if you'll meet with Him and talk with Him and meditate on these things that He has laid before us to help us heal our wounds. So here's your action step. Your thinking determines your feelings. Would you say that with me? Your thinking determines your feelings. Your feelings determine your actions. Change your thinking by filling your mind with the Word of God, the divine revelation. Fill your mind with this. Not the evening news, not with things that you'd never think that it was injurious to your overall life here on earth. You know, sports. Now, don't get the idea. I'm not saying don't go to Dodger games. But think about it, guys and girls, if you're a Dodger fan. You spend 3.5 hours if they don't go in the extra innings. 3.5 hours out of one day. And you spend all the money you're going to give the Lord on Sunday. But you sit there and you watch that, and you've never spent 3.5 hours alone with the Lord. Trust me, there's enough people in this church to be praying His blessings over to keep you busy for well past 3.5 hours. Well, let's just say you just pray for some of them. You take your church directory, as I do, and you just pray through for A, B, C, D. Pray for every person on there by name, before the Lord, kids too. Pray for them. There was a time when I first came here that I even knew the names of your parakeets. I didn't pray for them, but I knew their names. If you spend 25, 30 minutes reading the Word and picking out one sentence that struck you a little more importantly than another one, and read it over and over, and began chewing on it, meditating on it. And then you write it down. You write down in a journal what it meant to you. And then you begin asking questions. You write them out, and you're asking, what can I do about this? What should I do about this? What is it you want me to do about this? And He'll give you direction. And then you just start doing it. Trust me, You do that all by itself, and an hour and 15 minutes will go by so fast, you're going to wonder, my goodness, I can do more of this. And he would love for you to spend more time with him. He has so much to say to you. He has endless things to say to me. Makes a big difference in one's life if they're really a Christian. And failures are not quite as frequent when you spend time with him, because he shows you how to get around the failures. You don't have to participate in something that will bring about the failure. And when someone looks at you and they say, hey, John, how do you spell John? B-L-E-S-S-I-N-G. Lori, how do they spell Lori? Two R's or one? No, there are no R's in B-L-E-S-S-I-N-G. I see a whole bunch of blessings around here. You've got other names. But what you mean in my life and what you have come to mean in other people's lives, I wish they would come up and just tell you. You're a blessing. Not always, but you are a blessing. You know, people have done that with me. Ron, you are a blessing. This morning's message, you were not a blessing to me. I just do what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. I'm the mailman. He's the one that has the message for GHCC, as he has me visit so many of you and get an idea of what's going on in people's lives. So, remember to admit your hurt. Our Lord wants you to just be open with him. He already knows about it. He knows all the details of it. Admit it to him. Just talk to him about it. And then release the offender or the offenders. Let him go. Let him go. Ronnie was just killed. I've got to let the guy in the Ford F-50 pickup truck go. I've got to let him go. He didn't set out that Sunday morning, October 24th, to go and kill my son. That person who brought you such great harm mentally, emotionally, or physically, or all of those things. It's in your past. Confess, let it go. Move on. Move on. Some of those people in your past that did those things, they're not thinking about you. They're not wasting any of their time. They don't care. But the Lord cares. And there are people right now in the present who care. And our Lord loves you like nobody's business. And he wants to heal your wounds. And he can, because he's Jehovah Rapha. He is the one, our healer, the God who is our healer. So, your action step. Your thinking determines your feeling. Your feelings determine your actions. Change your thinking by filling your mind with the Word of God. The more truth you put into your brain, the more garbage you're going to push out. I exposed myself and was very transparent in the past weeks. And I did that for a reason. I know of which I speak. I have been there. And it's no place to be. And Jesus loves me so much. He wants to heal my wounds. And family, those wounds that I told you all about, they're healed. They're healed. The reason I shared them with you comes next week when we close out this series. It comes straight out of the Word of God, as all of these steps do. All those things that happened to me, we can almost say they happened so that I could help any of you who have had to suffer the same thing or something similar. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Abba, it is my prayer for these people that you have entrusted to me to pray for, to feed, to lead, to try to help them to hear the Good Shepherd's voice, yours, so that they will respond to your voice of love towards them. And in this case, wanting to heal their wounds, whatever they may be. There isn't a wound too great, for you are great and awesome, Abba Father. So Father, I do pray that you will encourage us to memorize and then to put into practice. Every time a wound of significance comes along, we admit it. We just say it out loud, especially to you, seeking your help. And releasing the person who hurt us. They may have meant it. They may have just been in the flesh like we can be in the flesh from time to time and not conducting ourselves as one of your kids. But let's release the offense. Let's forgive them, Father. Help us. Just as you have forgiven us not just the sins of last week, but all of our sins. The sins of past and the sins that are yet to come. Your Son, our wonderful Savior, He's already taken care of those on the cross. And you want us to spend time with you and to grow up to be more like your Son, the Lord Jesus. So again, help us to be forgiving, to not try to hide our hurts, and please, may we replace the lies that we keep telling ourselves with the truth of your Son. Please set my brothers and sisters free, Father. Please get a hold of them in whatever way they need to be held, that they might be set free to go forward and to be used of you in great ways for your glory and for your honor and for their peace. For I ask these things in your Son's awesome name, Jesus, the resurrected Son of God. Amen.